sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, June 2nd.
Good morning.
New month.
It is a new month.
New month, new adventures, new risks.
Yes.
New opportunities.
Wow, what an uplifting way to start Monday morning in the new month.
Yeah, let me tell you, I got an extra half hour of sleep, so I'm all...
So you're ready to go.
All revved up. Wow, I can't believe it. Over the weekend, I slept in till like 12:30.
Wow.
You know, going to bed at like 4:35 in the morning. Uh-huh. And I never slept in that late. Never, ever,
so
ever.
So you feel refreshed.
Well, not necessarily. I feel guilty because it ruins my day, you know. But yeah, but I figure, you know, I tell myself, look, so you're spending that awake time at night. So
exactly.
Don't complain,
your body clock's,
you know,
just different.
It is. It's changed, you know, but I'm trying to tune it back to the way it was. It's just that, I mean, there's no way I can continue going to sleep that late, you know.
What you should do is stay up all the way through.
Yeah, without sleeping.
And then
sleeping,
go to bed. Stay up all one night and then go to bed at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, in
the
morning.
And you'll sleep from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
And do you get what I mean? And
yeah.
Then that might help.
Get like really tired,
yeah.
Right?
For sure. Well, yeah, you'll get really, really tired and fall asleep. But it might work.
Yeah. It might. I'll try it. Who knows? But I know that, I mean, I keep reading how sleep is so important and everything, you know. So you definitely have to get at least 7 hours. So, yeah I need to start making it like no later than 1.
Well, if you went to sleep at 4 and got up at 12, you got 8. So
yeah,
at least,
but that's
got...
only on the weekend.
Right.
You know, during the week, it's 4 or 5 hours, you know.
Yeah. By the end, it's like, no, the weekend.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, it's like I've been reading, we'll get to it in a few minutes, about 7 traits that rich people share, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that would be interesting to know. Maybe we could get rich learning that.
Definitely.
So one of the things is, you know, they work so hard that they don't sleep a lot.
Don't get a lot of sleep.
Yeah. So maybe that means I'll be rich, but I don't know. I don't know if there's any causal relationship here.
What are the others?
Well, we'll go over it.
Oh,
okay. It's kind of long, and I don't want to start it because in a few minutes we're going to have a couple of guests calling in from overseas. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that try to get through Friday that we couldn't take.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So finally we scheduled them. It's confirmed. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to them. They sound pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. They really do.
Yeah. So one is in England. The other one, I think, is in Germany. We'll see. They're going to tell us.
I'm going to have some interesting accents.
Yeah, I know. I know. Let me tell you, between the four of us, my God.
Did you have a good weekend? Did you get to bike ride?
Actually, no, you know. But what I did get to do is sit and watch my bike and think about reconditioning it, you know. At least I did that, you know. I need to have
same
it tuned
kind of thing.
Up.
You looked at it, so
yeah.
At least some thought was there, I guess.
I know, yeah, because it's sitting on my balcony and it's partially covered, but because of the wind and everything, it always blows the cover away.
Right.
But it's like you can tell, you know, I mean, the metal got like oxidized and stuff, so it's not as shiny and clean anymore. But that's okay. You know, you take it to a bike shop.
That's true. And they
They put oil and grease and they tune up everything. And it will be like new. You know, I think I may need new tires or something, but it's still better than getting a new bike. You
completely.
Know?
I hate when you get something new and then it goes like, when you first drop your phone.
Right.
When it's brand new, it's the end of the world.
It really is.
No, I just dropped my phone. First time I like dropped my iPad and my computer, which I've dropped. But it's like, it's the worst thing when you get something new and nice and then kind of gets messed up. And it sucks that it's the wind that's doing that. You're not even doing anything.
Yeah, but that's okay. But you know, I mean, when you don't use something, that's what happens, you
that's
know.
That's true.
Doesn't matter where you store it.
Yeah.
And But no, I do plan on riding bikes. In fact, I saw a couple of people riding, and it's like, you know, around 7:30 in the evening now. It's like so peaceful.
So nice out.
You know, the temperature is perfect. Yeah. People are coming home, you know, so just take a bike. So I'm actually planning on doing that. And I'm also thinking, you know, maybe joining like a bike club or something where I can meet people.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to meet people and make friends. You know, you don't just walk up to people on the street and right. do this. So I figured, you know, if you find people that have like common
interests. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that they get together for some reason.
Do you mean like a bike where you all go biking on the sidewalk or like a spinning class?
No, not a spinning class, but where people actually have groups of bicycles and they just ride at night and stuff together.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, be a
so
lot of fun.
Yeah, and sometimes they do like midnight rides and things like that, you know.
Yeah, I know a lot of I know a lot of run clubs that do that. I guess it's a bit different, but I would enjoy like a bike club.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it makes when you have somebody else there or a few more people, it makes you do it.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the thing is that you can have fun with it, you know. It's not like going to the gym and you hate it. And so I will get some exercise in the process
exactly.
too, you know. So there's no downside to it. I'm going to do it, you know.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, and there's a lot of areas like here on the hills and stuff that's really nice, you know.
Yeah,
lots
there's apparently
of trees.
Some hidden trails and like hikes that you can do up on the top by, like as you go at Laurel Canyon and Coldwater.
Yes.
There's some cool hikes along there. I haven't done them yet.
Yeah.
But like kind of hidden trails
that's
that you
true.
Can do.
Yeah, and they're very nice. And there's some like lookout points where you can see the city and the valley and stuff. Yeah, I mean, L.A. is beautiful, you know. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I've run out of things to do here, but there's definitely a lot to do.
There's
you know?
So much to do.
There is. There really is.
So
there's
many
a lot
different
of places
things to
go.
To do. It's not everything. Like, it's not in the mountains where you can only snowboard.
Right.
I guess we're by the beach. But there's a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah, I mean, we have the mountains and the beach here.
Yeah, the mountains are so close. I've yet to go skiing. Love skiing.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
love
wow.
it. I can't
did
wait
you
to
ski
go.
A lot? I mean, not in Miami, you didn't. I mean,
no,
not in Florida.
I
mean.
I haven't skied a lot. I haven't been a lot of times. I went to Aspen last Christmas. Mm. Not the Christmas just gone, the Christmas before that. And it was a lot. It's fun.
Wow.
It's really fun, yeah.
Is that when you learned how to ski?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was cool. I went with my friend's family, and they're really good.
Yeah? So they taught you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, I took a lesson, but I'm a pretty fast learner. I think that's from being... I think when you're an athlete, you kind of just learn that you have to do things quick.
Right.
So I did this lesson for like half a day, and I was like, these people couldn't even stand on the skis. And I was like, this is driving me insane. I have to go. So my friend's dad was like, just come down, let's meet us, and we'll go down. But I was down on a blue slope, which is one of the hardest ones.
Really?
And I couldn't ski. And I was petrified to go down.
I'm sure.
But I was able to do it. And, well, I kind of went down on my butt that time. But then I picked it up super quick.
Wow.
It's always, I feel like when you're teaching a big group, you always get better. It's easier when you're getting like one-on-one.
Right.
And especially with somebody that you know. And my friend's dad can ski really well. So. Okay. It was a lot of fun. Picked it up super quick and
nice. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm still curious about skiing. I like to go. You know,
I love to learn how to snowboard.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Those look like fun too.
Yeah,
huh?
They look like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
More dangerous, I think. But,
yeah,
because I'm not great at stopping.
Yeah,
I'm really good at skiing, but when I stop, I'm not so good. So I feel like with a snowboard, I would have a few more troubles. But
yeah, I know it's scary when you don't know how to stop.
Yeah, but I love it.
Wow.
So much fun.
Yeah, if you don't know how to stop, you get stopped by a tree or something, you know.
Right? Or at the bottom, you kind of just keep skiing into somebody until you, like, hurt yourself.
Oh, man. So, did you have a nice weekend?
I did.
Yeah.
I worked a lot, but it was a nice... Yesterday, I got to relax for a while. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Rejuvenating weekend somewhat,
yeah,
but it was nice.
Did you feel the earthquake last night?
No, I didn't.
No.
And I
it
saw
was
your
very
Facebook
brief.
Status, and I saw a few other people And I said to my boyfriend, I was like, check your earthquake app.
Yeah.
Because it has an app. It's the coolest really? App ever. It says all how big the earthquakes were. But it was 3.2.
Yeah, that's
at first
what
he was like,
saying.
Oh, it's 1.0. And I was like, no, like loads of people are writing on Facebook. It was more than that.
Yeah.
He's like, well, 2.something. Then he was like, oh, wait, there was one an hour ago. And then finally we got, like, but there was, I think there was 10 yesterday. And only you only felt one of them, but
yeah, it was like about 7:35. Yeah,
but
I know, it is, you know. And the funny thing is, I got to tell you, this is embarrassing, but it happened when I was standing over the toilet, peeing, and I'm feeling the floor shaking. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh,
you
no.
know? Can you imagine that?
No.
You know? I mean, you never know where you're gonna get caught with this stripes, you know.
Oh my gosh!
So that's funny, you know.
Was it as bad as the one that I felt that time?
No. It was really just a single shake. That's it, you know. It was like, boom, 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 you know.
Wow.
And that was it, you know.
But
you never know how long it's going to be. You know, that's the petrifying part about it.
Completely.
Yeah. God, man, I don't know. We keep getting reminded. This is not a great area for people to live in.
I know they haven't happened in a while.
Yeah.
And then, because I'd forgotten about them. And then after I like, loads of people were like, I felt it this time. I was like, oh my gosh, it must have been pretty bad.
I know. But I imagine when you're, like, not in a building, you probably don't feel it as much, you know, if you're on the street.
Apparently when you're driving, you don't feel
yeah,
it.
Yeah, obviously when you drive, but I, you know, but because you're moving, yeah, so you can't really feel it. But I'm wondering, because all the earthquakes that ever happened, I think I was inside or something. Or the earthquakes that I remember, I think I was indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. But maybe I was outdoors and I didn't feel it.
Just didn't feel them, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but our guests are calling in. So let's go ahead and take them. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hi, Crystal. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for calling us this morning. And as we mentioned before, I apologize to you for Friday, but here you are now, and that's great. So thank you for coming on the line together. Now we have Crystal McCarrington and Joe E. Legend, and we're going to find out all about them and who they are and what they're up to. So Crystal, let's start with you. You are in the UK right now?
Yeah, I'm in Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh, okay. Yes. Do you know where that is?
I do. I'm from Sheffield, so.
She's from England.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so what are you doing in Scotland? Is that where you grew up?
No, that's where my husband stays.
Oh, okay. So you decided you're going to follow your husband. Where were you before?
I used to stay in the Viking Islands, known as Shetland.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Shetland is a group of islands in the north of Scotland. It's the original birthplace of the Vikings.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Yeah, very cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of history there.
Yes.
Yeah, there's. In fact, my uncle is Ali Bain. He's one of the most famous musicians in Scotland.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
And Joe, welcome to the show. And I understand.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you're located in a different location. Where are you?
I live now in Hanover, Germany.
Oh, you're in Germany. Okay, and you're originally from the States?
From Toronto, Canada, actually.
Oh, I see. Okay, great. And what are you doing in Germany now, Joe?
Well, I'm being a dad. My wife and kids live here, obviously. And I've also been a pro wrestler for a lot of years, so I do a lot of my my flights out of Hanover here. But I go to like 44 countries, so while I kind of have my mail sent here, I work a lot of places.
Yeah. Wow. So you were a wrestler, and you still are, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
How did you guys meet to start a book? Because Crystal, you've been an author for a while, since about 2010, right? So how did you guys meet a pro wrestler and an author to write a book together?
I will hand this one to Joe. He's better at explaining the story than I am.
Okay.
It's actually not very complicated. I'd done a TV series in England and a few movies in France and stuff like that. I was just kind of looking to broaden myself out in the film world. And so I got involved on this site called LinkedIn, which is like a professional networking site.
Right.
And found like Crystal. As soon as I see anything that just has, you know, writer, producer, director, yada, yada, I just throw my resume on there. And there was Crystal. So I just threw it onto there. And she wrote me back and we chatted for a bit. And she's like, well, you know, we might have this wrestling based project. And would you be interested? I was like, yeah, of course it would be.
Wow.
I mean, if there's one thing I'm kind of an expert in.
Yeah, that's true.
So, And then it kind of started from there, but then it broadened out to more of the writing and stuff like that, just beyond me showing up and being involved in just one wrestling-based project. It wound up moving forward into the writing thing.
Right. Yeah. Now, Crystal, so you were already interested in wrestling before you met Joe?
Yeah, I grew up watching wrestling. In fact, I actually... Before Joe messaged me on LinkedIn, I actually thought he was dead. It wasn't until my friend said, no, he's alive. Don't worry about it.
So you knew about him, right?
My friend Liam was really into it, and we used to wrestle on my bed as kids because we both grew up in hospital. And I turned sort of 14, 15. I started doing street dancing, which is known as extreme street dancing. A lot of wrestling-based holds are used in that form. Mm. And one of my friends said, why don't you come to England and see a wrestling show called 1PW? And I said, all right, okay. We might hire you as a writer. Uh-huh. I went down and I met Joe's best friend, Rhino, and he kicked off my writing and wrestling and kind of drew me back into wrestling because I'd kind of gone off it for a while. Right. And it inspired me to kind of broaden my horizons to see what was out there.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So you got together to put a book together. And mm-hmm. So, Joe, you pretty much were telling the stories and the wrestler's point of view. And, Crystal, you were picking that up and putting it in book form.
Yeah, Joe does the wrestling side. I do the romance. Because the great thing about Marie's World, which is the book we've got coming out now, is there's a lot of dance. You know, the daughters were dancers, their dad was a wrestler, and things completely imploded in the family. And I was able to take my years of sleeping in cars and driving, you know, 60, 70 miles, you know, for 80 quid, and put that in with Joe's stuff, and we got a really kind of intense romance drama out of it.
Oh, wow. Did you guys ever meet in person?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Wow.
What so you've done thing, all this so. Through the internet.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow, that's...
See, that's amazing. That makes the world a lot smaller now. And that's a fascinating thing. You've been able to collaborate and everything without having met in person. That's exciting stuff, you know?
Yeah, we've been a few feet from meeting, but then it hasn't happened. I've been wrestling in Scotland and stuff, just... Wound up just not quite having the chance to hook up, the time to hook up or anything. But, the internet's definitely cleared the road to handle a lot of stuff without a lot of air miles.
Yeah.
Definitely. So when you guys are in the process of editing and trying to get all the ideas together to make this something that you both are doing, how did you do that? Did you do it through email? Because that must be a lot of documents and a lot of writing to... email.
It was there was a lot of Skype calls, a lot of me phoning his phone and going, I can't get this chapter done, I need your help. There was a lot of times where he would say to me, okay, you're going way too far with this idea. let's rein it back a bit. I'm one of those ones, I'm very prolific. Once I get an idea, I run with it. And that's kind of the great thing about Joe, is he can see like the entire forest and I can just see the tree.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
Wow.
There was a lot of phone calls. There was a lot of Skyping. There was a lot of, no, we can't do that. Let's try to do this. And it worked. Like when I do most of the editing. So I'll take a chapter. As soon as one of Joe's characters come up, we divide it into characters. Like Joe has full control over Charlie and Harold and Purslane because they're all wrestlers.
Right.
And then I have full control over Layla and Marie and all the dancers, all the girls, so to speak. So when there's a chapter that focuses just on Charlie and Marie, then we'll split it up and I'll say, okay, well, what would Charlie say to this? Or, you know, right. and I'm right. definitely going to say that back. So we kind of went back and forth. And the great thing is Charlie is completely based off of Joe's personality.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of what would Joe do. It was like an alternative reality of what Joe's life would have been like if he went a different path, kind of almost. And I actually trained as a street dancer, as I said before, and my dance character was called Marie. So it was a great opportunity for me to take a character that had been around for, oh, God knows, like 20 years and put it, you know, put her in a situation that she might have been in if the street dancing industry had survived.
Right.
Wow.
So the book is Marie's World. And so tell us briefly, what does it deal with? This is fiction, right?
Yeah, it's a romance drama based on Marie and her sister Layla. And what Layla does is she writes every dirty little secret about her twin sister and her dad and the wrestling industry. And she outs all of these secrets in this book. And the book follows the aftermath of like Marie having to deal with it coming out, with her having to try and live her life and do her job. And you know, figure things out at the same time as, you know, trying to hold on to a relationship and trying to avoid her father because she's got terrible dad issues. So it takes a look at, you know, the families that you would find in that kind of industry and in that world.
Yeah. Very interesting. Now, Joe, how long have you been in wrestling? A long time?
We've lost Joe, but he's coming back in a second. His connection died.
It looks like he's here. Okay, let me see. Hold on. Yeah, because he looks like he's online still. But let me try and bring him back in. Let's see. No, it's not working.
You say that the book is for 16 and up. Why is it because of the complications in the family dynamic that you think that it should be for 16 years and older?
Yeah, basically their language that's used in the book would specifically relate to those teenagers. A lot of 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds might not understand the sort of the language that's been used because we do write it for a specific kind of age group. Also, where you've got the romance side of things would be a little bit too edgy for like 13, 14-year-olds. It's that kind of touchy-feely sort of stage between Marie and Derek and also between Marie and Harold.
Oh, wow.
Barrier.
Yeah, there you are, Joe. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
The nice thing about Skype is it keeps trying you back until it gets you, so that's good. So, Joe, I was asking, how long have you been in wrestling? When did you start?
Oh, golly. I think I started training in 1990, and then I got out of the gym around 92, and then I started going to Japan in 93, and then in Africa, and then it just kind of broadened from there, and then I got to WWE in 99, and then I was in TNA, which is the kind of chief rivals, in 2003, but beyond that, I was Puerto Rico and Russia and, you know, just France and Poland and everywhere else you can imagine. Like I say, 44 countries in and a bunch more on the way this year, as a matter of fact.
Very impressive stuff. Yeah. And so now what brought you into this? What were you doing before that? Before you got
before
into
wrestling?
Yeah. Do you even
being
remember?
being a big dreamer about getting into wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd planned on a few other things. I'd done a couple of extra bits and films and stuff in Toronto and had fun with that. But wrestling, pretty much from the time I was 14, I was in martial arts and stuff, and I wound up getting 4 black belts, but it still wasn't, you know, like I could kick anybody's butt in the unemployment line, but wasn't really paying the bills. And I have no interest in working in a factory or doing anything like that. I want to see the world and do things and meet people and stuff like that. And wrestling seemed like the kind of the best thing, because I'm a huge movie nut, to do some character based kind of entertainment, but at the same time, somewhat athletic. You know, the martial arts helped me a lot in there, along with, you know, the hockey and the football and the basketball and all the other sports I used to play.
Right.
And it just kind of kicked open. It seemed to scratch a lot of itches that I had in my life. And that's really why I got drawn to it. My dad used to take me as a kid, and that's where I saw what was interesting me. But
yeah. So you're more in the wrestling, like WWE and these things that we see, not so much Olympic stuff, right?
No, it was definitely the WWE. I was, like I said, I was with WWE in 99, 2000.
Mm.
So that's where I was mostly. Yeah. That's where I was able to kick open a few doors through that.
Wow.
That was kind of my ultimate goal, was to get there, and I did. So I can't complain.
Did you ever think that you would be writing a book that basing a character off, because Crystal said that it's like you. This character is kind of what your voice.
Yeah, to a degree. But I don't know if it started off that way. Just that's how I read it. When I, like, for the promotion in South Africa that I work for, I write for them as well as wrestle and try to help get their TV organized and stuff. So I like the idea. I really have a strong interest in the storytelling side of it.
Right.
But the first thing I kind of go for is, what would I do in that situation?
Right.
Yeah.
That's, in anything, I'm always saying my first reaction. And so that wound up being the character, because, I mean, the character Charlie, he's got twin daughters. Well, I have twin sons.
Right.
I have twin 6-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
So very
I'm
cool.
Told, yeah, I'm totally cool with twins. I have a thing for twins, you could say.
yeah. So,
it just kind of fell into place in that regard.
Yeah. Now, how are they dealing with the fact that their dad is a wrestler? Do they like that? Do they, at 6 years old, they totally understand what's going on. Do they support you in this? Are they, like, happy that you're doing something like this?
They only found out about it last October.
Really?
So what? Yeah, because, they're in kindergarten, and, you know, a kid in kindergarten takes their truck, the little toy truck, and then they want to take, you know, another toy and brain them with it to get a truck back.
Right.
And you're trying to say, okay, come on, use your words, don't fight, you know, play it smarter. And then on the flip side, they're going to see daddy kicking people for money.
That's true.
It's kind of hypocritical, you know, so I wanted to make sure that my kids got, you know, the kind of the moral base of, you know, that violence isn't necessarily a way to solve things. So,
right.
Last year, when a promotion started up here in Hanover, I came to do a press conference, and I brought them along, and we got in the ring, and they're like, you know, Papa, what's this? And I said, well, this is what Papa does, Papa's job.
Yeah.
Like, you do this? Like, they're like, yeah. They're like, cool. And then they attacked me for a solid half hour.
Very nice, you know. But that's the thing. I mean, it's such a cool thing to have your dad as a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I can totally understand when they're young, you know, they just see people getting beat up, even their dad. It would be pretty traumatic. So I can see why you would wait with something like that, you know.
Yeah, I would be worried about stressing them out. My one son, Connor, is a pretty sensitive kid, and I think that would really freak him out to see me, you know, taking a DDT or one of these moves on my head. I think he might panic. Maverick, my other son, would probably just, Dad, get up and kick that guy. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
That's true.
But Connor might be a little more upset by it.
You don't really think about having your child, like, seeing you beat these people up and you falling on your head. And because I know wrestling's scripted, but I mean, all the moves you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's still really
absolutely. I mean, the thing is that it's got to simulate somewhat a real fight.
Right.
So in turn, it's got to look relatively realistic, or at least impressively violent,
right.
Even if it's like kind of Roadrunner Coyote violence.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's got to be somewhat convincing to have people get lost in the moment. And so that if that's convincing to my little kid, that can stress the hell out of them.
Yeah.
So I just got to watch myself there and make sure I want it. My first priority is to be a good daddy, and that's kind of part of it.
Yeah. No, and that's cool. You know, I mean, because I remember to this day, I must have been, I don't know, 5, 6 years old maybe, and I went with my dad to the movies, and all I can remember is us walking. I think he got into an argument with someone, and then suddenly they're like fighting on the ground on the sidewalk. And this was pretty traumatic for me. I mean, to the point where I remember it now, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see your dad getting beat up.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know? My dad was actually My dad was a karate teacher when I was growing up. That was what he did. And I always remember going to his fights and thinking, yeah, why is my dad bleeding? You know?
Yeah.
And then he taught me. I got one lesson and I kicked him in the wrong place and he decided never to teach me ever again. So that was the end of that. But no, I mean, I grew up in a place where fighting was just kind of part of, I suppose, part of everyday life. Not only was my dad a karate teacher, but there was a lot of fighting that went on growing up for me because we had an oil rig that was being built in the island. So you had a lot of sort of racial fighting between the Scottish people and the English people that were there, and a lot of that. So I was never really I wasn't traumatized by it. It was more of a case I learned, okay, if someone's going to hit me, I'm going to make sure I hit them first.
Right. So that's not a bad lesson to learn, you know?
No, it's not. Because I'm so small, people just, you know, assume that I'll be a pushover. But
yeah,
I've got a fiery temper inside of me.
Now, briefly, Crystal, you also mentioned to me when we communicated that you were in the public eye early on in your life and stuff. Tell us a little bit about that. You were part of, was it a TV show?
Yeah, I was 5 years old and they put me on one of the nationwide TV channels called the BBC.
Right.
And I was involved in a show called Jim Will Fix It, which was run by Jimmy Savile. And they sent me to Lapland for 2.5 weeks to meet Santa Claus and play with reindeer and all this kind of stuff. I hated it. I hated the whole thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was minus 35 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And I remember looking at the camera, and they actually cut this out of the show, and I'm so mad about this. Because I looked at the camera, I looked at Jimmy Savile, and I said, I didn't want to go to Lapland. I wanted to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And there was just this explosion of laughter through the auditorium. And I lived with, like, I still kind of deal with some of the fame to this day. Like, if I walk down the street, because the show's being run in India, places like India and Dubai and some parts of North America, they recognize me instantly.
Really?
And they come running up and they're like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's weird. I was actually in getting an operation a couple of years ago. I think it was 2011. And my partner at that time, he just left, and this Indian family, their mom was in next to my bed, and the son recognized me from like all the radio shows I used to do and TV and all that. And the next day there was 46 Indian people standing in a queue for me to sign their autograph.
Wow.
Wow.
And my doctor's like, I think we're going to have to move you into a room so you don't get around. It was like that I was in for like 3.5 weeks.
Really?
And I had like 30 people every day.
Wow. So you're like a celebrity in a foreign country that you didn't even know, right?
Yeah, so it was freaky. I still get emails from India all the time asking me, you know, are you ever going to come to India? And I work with Indian animation companies. I write scripts for them. And it's just insane, some of the, you know, the fame that they have. But my fame is nothing compared to Joe's. Joe's the big dog in this one.
Right, yeah. So, and you've spent many years building your reputation and your name, Joe, and that's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Crystal McCarrington and Joe E. Legend, the book is Marie's World. And when was this published recently?
It's due out June 30th. It's going to be in all major bookstores in the States, the UK, and Europe. We're in talks to try and do a book tour with Barnes & Noble's at the moment to come out and visit everyone in the States,
right,
which would be kind of cool.
Well, you better hurry up because they may not stay open very long. I mean, all our bookstores are getting closed here, you know, because of the internet. Yeah. So, but great. So we get to talk about the book before it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So Marie's World coming out June 30th. And everybody go out and get it. It sounds pretty interesting. And I'm looking forward to it. And all the best to you guys. I'm sure there's still a lot of books in you between the both of you.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, we've got two new books.
I've got movies. I've got a bunch of movies I got coming out. Just a ton of stuff. So hopefully you'll be able to use that. One will sell the other.
Wonderful.
Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful. Well, cool. So you guys are very productive in your productive years, and that's a very cool thing. How about you, Crystal? Do you have any kids yet?
No. I'm not a mom yet.
Not a mom yet. Okay, take your time. Don't worry.
I'm married to my career. It's a bit like wrestling. I'm married to my career, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Well, parenting is not all that they say it is. You know, sometimes it's very difficult, and you need a lot of time and patience for it. Right, Joe?
It's absolutely 100% best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
My kids are my best friends. It's not, honestly, I know it sounds like, you know, cliche, I'm just going to big my kids up, but they're not a chore, they're an absolute joy. I miss them when I leave the room. That's how much of a sissy I am for my kids.
Amazing.
That's cool to hear, because you see a big, strong wrestler in the ring, and then
soft heart and stuff. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. Congratulations again on the book. And all the best. Maybe you'll call us again with the next book.
Yeah, we most certainly will.
Okay. Thank you very much, folks.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And they're probably up pretty late now, huh? It's what? It's not that late. It's about six. Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, that's true.
5:45.
Only 7 hours ahead.
Yeah. England, Germany's more.
Okay, yeah.
But England's seven.
That's right. And Israel's
Germany
10.
Germany might be eight.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Or is it eight? And Germany's nine. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah.
It's all the same. I just know it's like, I had about seven and it's somewhere around about
that. That's okay. That's good enough. You know?
It's about 6 o'clock. We'll go with that.
I know. So let's get to what's going on.
Did you hear about the lady that attached her newborn baby to a wedding dress and walked down the aisle?
No.
The photo, literally, the photo has gone viral.
Really?
All the news stations are talking about it. Uh-huh. It's absolutely insane. The baby's on the end of her train.
Uh-huh.
And
so she's dragging the baby?
Yeah.
I mean, was this like by design?
Yeah.
Or they
and the baby's
to do that?
Attached, and apparently it was attached securely. And the bride had posted, keep your mouths running, for it was just that exclusive and epic enough, we made the top blog way from a small town, Ripley, Tennessee, and the social media doing what they do, talk.
Right.
So it sounds to me like they've done it all for, like, just attention.
Exactly.
But, I mean, who attaches that baby to the end of the train? Like, literally, if you put in newborn baby attached to wedding dress, the photo will come up. Facebook has just gone insane, and I mean the whole internet. It's crazy
really?
That she literally attached
the baby
to the end of the
wow.
to the end of the gown. And who knows if that's the dad?
That doesn't look right.
Surely it's just can't be okay.
Oh,
but apparently
God.
The baby was secure and okay.
Yeah.
But still. You don't attach a baby to the end of your train.
No, you don't do that.
Right?
People don't like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not okay.
Did you see this headline? Giant dead creature washes up on beach. Did you see it?
No.
I mean, they're showing like a small picture. It's a video, so I'm not going to play it now. But they're just showing like a partial picture of this. This thing looks huge.
Where is it at?
I don't know. But, I mean, I don't want to click on this because the video will start. And I hate, you know, on CNN, most of the news is like in
video.
And you can't really use it. But, I mean, what do they mean by giant creature? I mean, that means...
Creature, I know.
Yeah, I mean,
like
what
fish.
Is that? That means we don't know of it before.
Yeah, like,
we haven't known about this.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the scariest part. It's a creature and not...
Yeah, a new species we don't know, and it looks bigger than a whale, you know?
Oh
I mean,
gosh,
come on.
Yeah. Not okay.
Not okay. I'm not going in the water till they figure out what it
right?
is.
Right? Seriously. Just washed up on shore.
God. Good thing it's dead, you know?
Who knows what's in the ocean, though?
Yeah, it sounds like a Godzilla to me or something.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. I want to bring this up. I guess Chris Brown, did you know he was in jail since March?
I didn't know.
Yeah, because I guess he was kicked out of the rehab he was in because he broke the rules. Okay.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Beating up everybody and doing what right. he wants. Yeah. So I guess he spent some time in jail. So they let him out last night. But this guy doesn't learn, you know?
No.
He doesn't learn. And, you know, he's acting out. But, I mean, how old is this guy that he can still do this,
you know? He's got to be like 30-ish now.
Yeah, huh?
I would maybe even say 35.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and he still, like, gets in trouble like he was a teenager or something.
Right?
You know? I don't get it.
So he was in rehab.
He was in rehab, and then he was kicked out, so then he was put in jail.
Oh, he's young.
Yeah, he got a sentence for 365 days.
He's 25.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, his picture looks young, you know. So, yeah, he's probably still doing the crazy things that people do at 20 years old.
And that's what I think that's what people forget, that when you're in the public eye from so... I mean, he's been around for a while, so...
Yeah.
I remember singing one of my favorite songs. I can't remember what the name of it is now, but... He must have been around like 7-8 years. So when he got into the industry, he was probably like 17.
Right.
But people think, he's not that young. Right. So now when he's still getting in trouble, they think, I mean, I thought 30, 35.
Right.
He's 25.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's still behaving like a kid, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I don't know about this, but, you know, when you get a court order rehab, you don't screw around, you know.
Right.
You go.
It's like, just go, just do it. Just do what you have to do. Abide by the rules.
Exactly. You know, I mean, don't go and keep doing things illegally, you know. I mean, he violated his probation and, you know, I mean, he keeps assaulting people all the time.
Did you hear about the soldier that was held in Afghanistan for 5 years and now he's been freed? But there's a load of there's a lot of issues surrounding it because, well, now it's like, is he a hero or I don't really think it's villain, but basically they're saying, what did they do, U.S. officials do, to get him released? Have they now put other Americans at risk of being snatched?
Oh, wow. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, there's even bigger controversy because fellow soldiers are saying
that he deserted. Yeah.
He deserted.
Mm-hmm.
And that cost the lives of men that were looking for him.
Exactly, yeah. So I think as soon as he's like deemed healthy, there's going to be a big investigation.
Probably.
Surrounding that. Because, I mean, if he does, I mean, where did you just disappear to? What did you do?
Right.
You just abandoned. But then was he snatched right there? Probably not. So did he walk off?
Who knows? Yeah, we don't know what happened. But the thing is that it's a pretty shocking thing, I think, to hear, you know, because usually someone's held hostage. You look forward to them coming back. They're heroes and all that stuff, you know.
Exactly.
But this guy's going to come back to this. Well, we're going to have to see, you know. I mean, because they're right. I mean, if he did desert and people lost their lives looking for him, that's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, the defense secretary has said it will be dealt with later. But even that's a terrible statement because we'll be dealt with later. I mean, when's later? That makes it sound like it's going to be shoved under the
rug. Maybe he means not this moment when we're waiting to welcome the guy home. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's still an American soldier, you know. And
But it's hard to, I mean, if other U.S. soldiers are now at risk of being snatched because of what they did to get him back. I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. Negotiating with terrorists usually is a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah. But
then he came back safe. So that's a good thing. But
can you imagine
like
being in captivity for 5 years?
No. But the videos didn't make it look like he was, and I'm sure mentally there's a lot that's gone on.
Right.
But he was just sat eating.
Yeah.
Not anything.
So he didn't look tortured or anything.
Not at all.
Like that.
But that's the video I saw. So who knows what went on.
Yeah, I'm sure in the beginning, maybe later he was okay, but in the beginning.
Yeah, because 5 years is a long time to.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, but exactly who knows what happened? But
yeah.
But I'm sure mentally.
Yeah, and it's 5 years that you don't know if you're going to get out, you know?
I think that's where it causes issues because, right. And in the long run, I think I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get out of here. What am I doing?
Right.
Like, life's over, you exactly. know? Like,
yeah, done. I know. I would think of that being in jail too, you know? Yeah. That's how it would feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, but you got to have hope because sometimes you get out.
You definitely have to have hope and obviously stay positive and he's free.
Yeah. It's a good thing that people have this instinct to survive, you know, and mm-hmm. and to stay alive.
And I guess you don't know if you have it until you're put into that situation.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Either that or when you see somebody really depressed and they lose any kind of desire to live, yeah. you know. And then you can see that it can go both ways.
Right.
You know, but completely. But you know, for healthy people, it's pretty much self-preservation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... Yeah, so I don't know. That's a sad thing. I hope it turns out okay.
It is sad, and it's a difficult subject.
Right.
It's a really difficult.
It really
subject.
Is.
Yeah.
Really is. Yeah.
Did you watch the Kings game last night? I know you're not a big sports person.
I'm not. Definitely not into hockey either.
It was literally that was probably the craziest series.
Really.
I mean, they were tied in the first minute, and yeah. the other team scored.
Really?
And then it was neck and neck. It went into overtime. The Kings scored. Each team scored four.
Yeah.
So that's 8 goals in a hockey game.
That's an exciting game, yeah. right?
And this is it's not a competition, whatever it is, whatever it's called in hockey. The Kings had won in game 7 every time.
Really?
Yeah, in the past 3.
Wow.
So now they're going on the plane, New York, in the Stanley Cup. I mean, it was a crazy game.
Yeah.
Crazy. How they won. They came back and...
So they beat Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Chicago is out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they played well.
Yeah?
I thought... I mean, it was like... I think it was 3-0, 3-1, and it was like, oh...
Wow.
They're going to win, and then the Kings just came back.
Yeah.
And then they
so
won.
So you watched the whole game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I watched the whole game. It was nice. Really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a good game, and now they're going to be in New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Sounds cool. Saw here, V. Stiviano assaulted outside NYC hotel. That's Donald Sterling's, or was, who knows, mistress.
She was attacked?
Yeah. She's
really?
Banged up, but she's okay.
Wow.
Gosh,
someone
people,
hates her, huh?
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah.
There's so much controversy. Like, I wish there wasn't so much controversy in life and everyone was just happier.
Yeah, I know.
The news is so depressing because it's always just people like getting killed, being assaulted. There's barely any happy news.
Yeah, that's true.
And when it is, I mean, the other day I was watching the news. It was like the 6 p.m. news. And then it showed this lady who... reached her 90th birthday or something. Quite a lot of people reach their 90th birthday. And then I was kind of mad that they were showing this because
yeah.
I was like, this isn't real news. Come on. So then I guess I'm contradicting myself because yeah. I want to see all the news that's happening, but do I want to see a lady's 90th birthday? When,
right.
You know, do you know what I'm saying? I don't want to sound insensitive,
yeah.
but...
No, but you're right, you know?
I don't know this lady, like... Yeah. I hope my grandma lives till she's 90th, but that's not going to be on TV, you know?
I know, but apparently, you know, bad news sells, you know? I mean,
yeah.
What's good news? They're going to come on and say, oh, nothing bad happened today. You
exactly,
know?
This lady's 90th birthday.
Right. You know, so usually it's not as interesting,
but, yeah.
I guess, huh?
No, it's not.
Yeah. But, yeah, finally, you know, they're saying that handgun sales are hot again because of what happened in Santa Barbara. So, you know, I mean, that's the thing is that people view these things differently. Some people mm-hmm. are saying, well, it's time to control guns a little more.
And ban them.
Right. And then some people are
Which
saying, well, this
with.
Gives me more reason to get a gun so yeah. I can defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, my question is, when was the last time you heard of someone defending themselves with a gun
right.
and saving their family that way?
Yeah.
It's very far and few between, you know. So, So I don't know. I mean, guns were made for only one thing, and that is to kill people. You know, it's not like a hunting rifle or something like that, you know, and bows and arrows, whatever. A gun was meant to kill people efficiently. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, you know, even if people carried guns, like at the Sandy Hook thing where the kids were attacked and stuff, you don't know. I mean, what are you going to do, pull out a gun when there's kids around?
Exactly.
You know, so you don't know. But I think guns
should be banned.
I think so. I think I'd at least reduced, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, but not something like this. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They're showing guns here on the display, and they're pink. Pink guns.
Wow.
Yeah. Who do you think females. They're trying to appeal to?
Yeah.
But come on, I mean, a pink gun, what, are you trying to make a gun glamorous? I don't know. Or like a toy? So, I don't know. I'm not for guns. I'm not for guns. And I know a lot of people swear by them, and especially conservatives. But I don't think they help anybody. The true thing is they say, you know, if we don't have guns, then only the criminals will have guns, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's not true. Law enforcement have guns, and the military, and you know, and the Marine Corps, and everybody's got guns to protect us. And that's the thing. You can't. I mean, this is not the Wild West anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that are in charge of taking care of us, and sometimes they don't do a great job. But for the most part, you know, you can't stop someone like that from shooting people. I don't care what happens.
I totally agree.
And although I think if someone's that sinister, they probably would be able to get a gun illegally. But at the same time, I just think we're too preoccupied with guns in this country. I really do.
I agree with you.
100%. All right. Well, everybody, we're getting controversial now, so we're going to leave. All right. Well, everybody, have a great day. Charlotte, thank you as always, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.